The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
Now, almost 300 asylum seekers who claimed they were children were found to be adults over the past 4 years. The average time that this went uncorrected was 57 days. And some of these people would have presumably been living with children during that time. Here to tell me more is Social Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times, Kitty Holland, and Safety Net Primary Care Medical Director, Dr. Angie Scoos. And Angie, we'll come to you in a moment. But Kitty, first to you, this information has emerged yesterday at the Public Accounts Committee. Outline for us what was learned.
From TUSLA to the Public Accounts Committee. TUSLA, this is an ongoing issue that the Public Accounts Committee is scrutinising with TUSLA. And TUSLA say that there's been a big increase in the number of young people being referred to them in the last 4 or 5 years. About almost 300 of them who said they were children were subsequently found to be adults. After they interrogated the claims and looked into them. That's the main meat of what they're telling the Public Accounts Committee.
And the problem seems to be that there is no legal basis for TUSLA to check anyone's age when they come to them. Is that right?
Yeah, I mean, TUSLA's in this kind of legal quandary, I suppose, or, you know, they're lacking a legislative basis to carry out age assessments. So, just to explain, under the International Protection Act, which is a 2015 piece of legislation, if a person comes into a port of entry and says they're a child, or the immigration official believes that they probably are a child and that they're unaccompanied, they must, under the legislation, refer them on to TUSLA. And under that legislation, TUSLA must give them the benefit of the doubt that they are a child and they must accommodate them. So TUSLA has to take them, but they don't have a legislative basis on which to carry out age assessments. So their way around that is that they have a legislative basis for assessing them for eligibility for their services, which is in effect a test on whether they're under 18 to be eligible for those services.
Now, we had a statement from TUSLA this morning, and they say that from June of this year, so from next month, the International Protection Office will be responsible for and has committed to the undertaking of full age assessments under the new International Protection Act, which commences next month. So this will revert back to the International Protection Office to check.
Yeah, and I'm sure TUSLA will be very relieved about that, because, you know, that they say that this is an issue of significant risk for them. I'm sure they're worried that there could potentially be cases coming their way, you know, down the line if people feel that they were a child who was in a child residential centre and an adult was placed in with them, albeit inadvertently, and that there are risks to both to inadvertently placing an adult in with children, but also then, which I'm sure your contributor there from Safety Net will talk about, is there's a risk if you put a child inadvertently, not believing they're a child, and put them in with adults. So there's risk all over this, you know, and TUSLA is, you know, in the middle of trying to manage that. And I'm sure they'll be very relieved that Department of Justice and Immigration are going to take this off their hands.
Well, these were the fears that were expressed yesterday at the Public Accounts Committee, both by the committee, but also from HICWA as well, and TUSLA, that you're placing child asylum seekers at risk if you're putting these adults in with them, not knowing that they are adults. I mean, it is a desperately risky situation.
Yeah, and, you know, and some of them are, which is another issue, are being placed in these unregulated, uninspected placements called special emergency arrangements, where there aren't properly qualified staff to supervise, you know, really vulnerable, traumatised young people and potentially young adults. It's fraught with potential risk. And, you know, we saw what happened with the murder of Vadim Davydenko last year, or the killing of Vadim Davydenko, excuse me, in a special emergency arrangement, which was housing unaccompanied minors. They're potentially very, very volatile places.
Mm-hmm. Angie, to bring you in, Dr. Angie Scoos from Safety Net, I have a message from a listener who says plenty of other European countries medically test applicants who claim to be children, and they want to know why we aren't doing this. Can we do that? Do you know?
I do know, and we've come across many of these what they call age disputed minors over the years, and we've done a lot of research into it, and there is no way to determine somebody's exact age. The definition of an adult is a legal definition of somebody who turns 18, and we know that people don't suddenly mature on their 18th birthday. So there's no physical exam or investigation that you can do that can tell how old somebody is. People talk about things like dental examinations and x-rays of bone age, but that will give you somebody's age to within about 5 years. So it's wildly inaccurate. Mm-hmm. People also talk about psychological assessments, but a psychological assessment will give you an idea of how mature somebody is, which often is quite different to their age. And I think anybody who has looked at a six-year classroom of children who might be 16, 17 or 18, there's huge disparity between the most mature and the most immature. So there is absolutely no way of telling how old somebody is. And in my experience, I think Tusla's approach has been the right one. The figures I would be more interested to hear are not the number of adults we're mistakenly accommodating as children, because they could be all people who turn out to be 18 years in 1 month as opposed to 17 years and 11 months. I'd be much more interested to know how many children we have mistakenly accommodated as adults, because they're the most vulnerable, and even one of those a year would be too many.
And that is happening too, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is happening, but thankfully much less than it used to. We used to come across it really quite often, and it was a very distressing situation for our GPs and nurses to see somebody who to us seemed to be a young person, a minor, with possibly chronic medical problems, severe psychological distress, and accommodated somewhere with adults, doesn't speak the language, with no supports. But that has improved really hugely over the last few years. I think as Ireland has learned how to best manage protection applicants, and we rarely see it now. Mm-hmm. And if we do, Tusla respond immediately. We contact Tusla, we ask for an immediate reassessment, and they will almost always respond the same day.
So do you think people should be as concerned as I think they are seeing the headlines today, you know, on Kitty's piece written with Martin Wall about 300 child asylum seekers found to be adults in the last number of years? I mean, I think the general reaction to that has been that people are horrified that could be allowed to happen. But you seem to be not as concerned about it.
No, I think it's possibly a good thing. I think it's hopefully an indication that we're a caring, well-functioning society that looks after its vulnerable young people. And my impression is, though I'm open to correction, my impression is that these people are being accommodated in shared accommodation with other people of the same approximate level of maturity. So when we see these young people in the care of Tusla, it seems that they're if they're 16, 17, 18, they're in accommodation with other people of that age. They're not accommodated with much younger children who are 14 or 15. So my impression is that Tusla have taken a very caring, pragmatic approach to it, that it doesn't matter what your actual date of birth is. What matters is how mature you seem to be and what your behaviour is like. Mm-hmm. And then you cannot assess somebody on the spot, but with the experience of staff living with these kids 24/7, they get a much more accurate impression when the person settles, they're relaxed into the country, and staff can make a much more accurate determination of their level of maturity.
Kitty, I mean, I don't know how aware you are of the actual ages of the people involved here. Like, could it be the case that you would have a 24-year-old living with 14-year-olds?
No, I don't. Not with 14-year-olds. I mean, if you had a very young looking 24-year-olds, they possibly could end up for, a few weeks in a accommodation with sort of 17-year-olds. Mm-hmm. But I think 24 would probably be quite, older than usual. I think it really is the borderline cases between, as your colleague there was saying, between the 17 years and 11 months and 18 years and 1 month. And I suppose, the issue that would strike me is that if there are age disputed young people, that they should be in residential centres where there's fully qualified staff and that there's a good staff ratio, because, young people carry a lot of trauma and their brains aren't fully developed until they're quite a bit older and, regulating their emotions and their trauma and that kind of thing. And I suppose the issue is if they're in a residential centre where there aren't sufficient staff and who are properly trauma-informed, trained and all that kind of thing to manage them and to look after them properly, that's where things can go wrong, and that would be, the horrifying situations that can arise, and we know do arise.
Well, Dr. Angie Scoos, do you agree with that? That really is where the problem lies. If you have staff looking after these children or adults in these types of situations who are not qualified, that's where the risk lies.
Absolutely. It doesn't matter how old somebody is. They need the care that they need. And these are young people who've come from horrific circumstances. A lot of them have had horrific journeys. They're not going to behave or feel like your average Irish 17-year-old. And people definitely need to be trained to mind them, to keep them safe, to keep the people around them safe, and to help them return to health.
As time goes on, Angie, do you think that our systems are getting a better handle on looking after people who are coming into this country and assessing them, assessing their level of need?
Oh, definitely, definitely. People, all of the people I've met who do this kind of work care about the people that they're meeting. And we've gained huge experience over the last few years. The problem is that most of the people arriving have a high level of need, and it's expensive to provide high quality care and high quality services to them. And so there's a constant struggle for funding to get enough staff with enough training to provide what's needed. Mm-hmm. So we know what's needed, and we've got much better at recognising that, for sure.
But those special care places that are unregulated, they are still a significant problem, Angie, aren't they?
They would be, to be honest, I don't have any direct experience of them. But if there are placements like that are unregulated and unsupervised, that would be a huge concern.
Mm-hmm. Those placements are still happening, aren't they, Kitty? We hear about them a lot, and they sort of exist outside of the regulatory system.
They do still exist. I mean, Tuzla, in fairness, is reducing their reliance on them, and I think there's about 70 young people in special emergency arrangements. The majority of them actually are coming from Irish households, not unaccompanied minors. It goes back to funding. Tuzla is chronically underfunded. They get half of what they ask for every year. They ask for, the Department of Children doesn't get the sanction from the Department of Public Expenditure to give the funding, provide the funding that Tuzla needs. So this all, it all goes back to DEEPR and the budgets. If Tuzla had the funding to recruit the staff, to pay them, to retain them, to recruit them and retain them, things would be a lot better and safer for children, both unaccompanied minors and from Irish households.
Okay, well, Kitty, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much to Kitty Holland from the Irish Times and Dr. Angie Scoos, who's Safety Net Primary Care Medical Director.
The Clare Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.